B-Pod Studios.
Some snowy ice and find underneath his glove. Marshy told me if I come from that side, it's open all day. So take the really skilled guy's advice and try to execute.
Jake DeBrusk and Brad Marchand also scored goals for the Bruins. DeBrusk added a goal in the shootout as well. The final game of this road trip is Saturday in St. Louis. The Blues have won 11 in a row. Bruins also got some help up front yesterday. They sent Ryan Donato in a fifth-round draft pick to Minnesota in exchange for Massachusetts native Charlie Coyle. Celtics will be in Milwaukee tonight to kick off a three-game road trip coming out of the All-Star break. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 7:30 and the tip-off at 8 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Gordon Hayward twisted his ankle during a workout Tuesday. He's questionable. And in NFL news, Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be without both Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell next year. Brown is going to be traded, and yesterday the team determined they are not going to use either the franchise or transition tag on Bell, making him a free agent. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Online ordering now available at the Nines. Visit 99restaurants.com to order online today. The 99, always the real deal. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in just 30 minutes.
Donuts, hot sauce, candy. Matt Schaefer has you covered with the Sports Hub Grub Podcast. 98.5thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And now, a feature presentation.
It's Toucher and Rich's Laugh Dammit.
I can't believe it. I'll take those Boston Bruins and I'll bend them over. Their head coach first, and I'll humble him in front of everybody. I can't believe.
What's that smell?
Was that for the movie No Holds Barred? What's the movie when Hulk Hogan grabs the guy?
He goes,
what's that smell? And the guy goes, Dookie.
Is he wrestle Zeus at the end? Is that who it is?
Yeah,
is
that was Zeus. That was Zeus in No Holds Barred.
Yeah.
All right, so they're making a Hulk Hogan movie. And Chris Hemsworth, by the way, if they ever make a movie about my life, like, you pray that, like, some dude as good-looking as Chris Hemsworth is playing you. I mean, to talk about the ultimate injustice.
Hulk's probably pretty stoked about the casting, yeah.
We were trying to figure out the casting of it. I want to know who the hell is going to play the Iron Sheik. However, our caller had a great idea. He goes, you know, Gronk, talk about the perfect movie for him. Like, who would he be cast as? And, you know, when you look back at those classic wrestlers, who would be the perfect Gronk role? And we're getting a few of these. Let's go to Chad. Chad on line one. What's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
All right, guys, you ready for this?
Okay.
The Ultimate Warrior.
That's not bad. The Ultimate Warrior is not bad for Gronk. Out of all the guys that are back in there, that's the one I could see fitting right into it. And Ultimate Warrior, like, you don't probably have too much of a speaking role.
Right. I would say that would be a nice prerequisite for Gronk's role.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Let's go to Jim on line five. Jim, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, so the Iron Sheik. Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
What?
Dwayne the Rock Johnson. You have to get a little out of shape to get that gut, but he's got the acting chops. He's perfect.
Somebody had an idea that said just have Sacha Baron Cohen bulk up and grow his stash out to play the Iron Sheik. Now that's inspired. I could actually see him doing something like that. Oh, without a doubt. People say Gronk would be the perfect Rowdy Roddy Piper. That's not that bad. Let's go to Matt.
That's a pretty good one.
That's not a bad one. Rowdy Roddy Piper for Gronk, I think, would be all right. Let's go to Matt. Matt, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, Gronk, he hit the nail on the head with Kane, but the Hound from Game of Thrones as the Undertaker, and Chris Pratt as, like, either Classy Fritty Glassy or Bobby the Brain Heenan. Thanks, guys.
Chris Pratt, because Chris Pratt's in every movie. So you just have to throw him in there.
Yeah, throw him, yeah.
Without a doubt. And he said, actually, somebody said, you know who Gronk needs to be?
I'm a nice.
Oh, hell yeah.
Badass Billy Gunn.
Yes!
The Ass Man.
Now we're talking. Now we're on to something.
He's just got
to
walk out and look at his own ass and go, whoa, I'm mesmerized by my own butt cheeks. Let's go to...
I feel like Gronk's done that celebration, like, in the end zone. I feel like he'd be perfect.
Oh, sure. Let's go to Owen on line four. What's up, Owen, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Danny Trejo as Iron Sheik.
Danny Trejo. He'd have to gain, like, obviously a ton of weight, but
not as much as you'd think.
How tall is he?
Oh, he's tiny.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I don't like to go up and take pictures with celebrities when I see them out and about, but Danny Trejo, a.k.a. Machete, was one of the few guys that a couple years ago at Super Bowl week, I saw him walking around. I'm like, dude, I got to get my picture with you. Yeah. Like, I'm the biggest Desperado fan. I have to get a photo with you. And he was up to my shoulder.
Yeah, he's 5'6".
Yeah, he's tiny.
So that's a little tough. No.
I don't think you could do that. Frank, what's up, man? On line six, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
How about Danny DeVito as the Iron Sheik?
You know what? He'd be all right. I mean, with the camera angles, you can make him look like taller and bigger and stuff like that.
Sure.
I bet he could do the accent. I should humble you. I guarantee you could do that. Okay, now this is somewhat inspired, but I don't think it would work. Let's go to line two. Pat, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Oh, yeah. Gronk needs to play Macho Man, Randy Savage. Oh, yeah.
See, that's a meaty role. You need a thespian to do Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah,
not just anyone can yell about snapping into a Slim Jim. You've got to get, I don't know, like someone classically trained, like you know, Al Pacino. Maybe get yourself a, you think of Pacino?
No, I was just going to say.
I'm macho, you know.
What about just Sean Silver? What about just have Sean Silver?
Well, Sean Silver's on that new Esoteric album. And as the Macho Man Randy Savage, anyone can do the voice. You got to be able to get the chops. You got to make you feel your pain. Someone says Gronk is Jake the Snake. Jake the Snake, dude, that you want to talk about someone they should make a movie about. Well, The Wrestler, that movie with Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically the life of Jake the Snake. I mean, he has...
Is it?
Oh,
I saw the movie. I didn't realize that's who it's based
on. Well, okay, there was a documentary that came out called Beyond the Mat, which followed around several different wrestlers. One of them was Mick Foley, and that was a feel-good story. And then there was Jake the Snake. And Jake the Snake was, at this point in his career, going to high schools, playing in gyms,
yep,
in front of like 40, 50 people, getting paid nothing.
Signing autographs for like two people.
Oh, yeah. Staying in like awful hotels. And there was a part of the movie where he was going to see his daughter for the first time in like 5-6 years. And the cameras were waiting for him to, you know, come out of his hotel room. And they, like, after 2 or 3 hours go by and he's not coming out, they knock on his door and he doesn't answer. So they get the key from the people at the front and they go in and he's just smacked out of his mind. He's passed out, and he said the pressure was too much. He can't meet his daughter, and just like almost overdosed on camera. I mean, his life was rough.
Got it.
Jake the Snake. He's still alive, right? Like, he hasn't died. I think he's still alive. Let's go to Matt. Matt on line five. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, hey. What do you guys think about Gronk playing Sid Vicious? And then I also got, how about this? This is going to be a good one. Portraying Paul Bearer, none other than Mr. Mark Jamelli.
That's Paul Bearer. Somebody said you should be Paul Bearer, as a matter of fact.
I saw that.
Let's see.
I feel like I'm a dead ringer.
We need a Captain Lou Albano in there. Who's going to be Captain Lou Albano? Just get somebody who looks homeless.
That's Danny DeVito.
No. You got to be a big dude, and you got to be able to rock the rubber bands and the beard better than anybody else. You got to get your Cyndi Lauper. You got to cast your own Cyndi Lauper. Maybe because Bradley Cooper's involved, you get Lady Gaga to beat Cyndi Lauper in the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's good casting.
That might possibly work. All right, one last one. Let's go to line six. What's up there, Dennis? How you doing?
Gronkowski and either Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels.
Okay, not bad. Oh, Vin Diesel is the Iron Sheik. That's good casting.
Mm.
Vin Diesel.
You think Vin Diesel but not The Rock is good casting?
Yes, The Rock does not. He's like way too jacked.
Isn't Vin Diesel pretty jacked?
Not as jacked as The Rock. Like, The Rock, it's like unavoidable. Like, I mean, the dude is like muscles everywhere. Vin Diesel could probably dough it up a little bit.
Yep.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, he could do that.
Mix in a few cheat days. He's right there.
And he is a classically trained actor. I mean, the guy has been in some of the greatest film roles of all time.
Is he a tall guy?
What's that?
Is Vin Diesel a tall guy?
Fast and the Furious 1. Fast and the Furious 2.
Yeah, you don't sleep on those.
Too furious.
I have no problem with that.
You could have any beer you want as long as it's a Corona.
He wasn't in Too Fast, Too Furious.
No. Was he not?
No.
Yes, he was. When?
In your face.
Very end of the movie, shows up. No, that was Tokyo
That was
Drift.
The third one.
That was Tokyo. No.
In your face, buddy.
Too Fast, Too Furious, he was not in. You're right.
Thank you.
The third one, they said, we lost our star, and they brought him back at the end after Bow Wow.
Very
and,
end,
and
yeah.
the dude from Friday Night Lights.
Lucas, whatever his name
and Sling Blade.
Is.
It was the dude from Sling Blade was in that one. And then they said, all right, well, here's The Rock, and it's over.
Yeah,
and
let's move this along.
nobody cares about Vin Diesel That's anymore. Right. It's all about The Rock. All right, 617-779-0985. Billy Lanny says, watch The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. It may still be on Netflix. It was great. I'd like to see that because that's a weird-ass story. We have Mike Giardi from NFL Network's coming out with us. He's the one who yesterday said that Gronk was, speaking of Gronk, was going around telling people that he wanted to win one more ring. So we will talk to Mike Giardi, see what he knows about the chances of Mr. Gronkowski returning right after this.
Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
I checked in with Rob a couple days ago. I've talked to the Patriots about it. Right now, Rob is he's thinking it through. You know, he's giving it a lot of thought. Rob will certainly, I think, make the decision in the foreseeable future. I don't want to put any pressure on him and give him a time frame, but I would imagine that it will be sometime within the next couple of weeks.
I think the three suggestions that are my favorite for the upcoming casting of the Hulk Hogan movie, which has been greenlit. It's happening. Chris Hemsworth, the guy who plays Thor, is going to be playing Hulk Hogan. Somebody said Johnny Gomes has to play Hacksaw. Matt Patricia as Sweet Lou Albano. And Ernie Adams as Paul Bearer. Very inspired, all three of them. But the Rob Gronkowski one. That would be interesting. If he does want to go into acting, I mean, this movie was absolutely just made for him. This is how you dip your toe in the water,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah, this is how you cross over.
Without a doubt. All right, well, speaking of Rob Gronkowski, Mike Giardi has been hearing some stuff, some rumors, some talk involving the intentions or the future of Rob Gronkowski with the Patriots. And Mike Giardi, as we know, covers the Patriots for the NFL Network. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Giardi, what's the deal, man? What have you been hearing?
What's up, fellas? Look, after the Super Bowl, and I tweeted this out, he was telling people, teammates, associates, that he wanted to win another ring. Now, when I tweeted that, I put at the end of it, you know, emotion talking, you know, question mark, because clearly when you're riding that wave and you hear people say this all the time, don't make the decision right afterwards because you need time to step away and think about it. But I think he felt fairly good at the end of the season, was quite pleased with obviously the way things went. And yeah, I think we went from being, you know, I was probably one of those guys who thought 90% chance he's gone after the end of the year, the way the year had played out, to, you know, now all of a sudden you're thinking like there's a real chance that he does come back. So it's, you know, he's not rushing the decision, which is smart. And we'll see where, you know, you heard Rosenhaus there, where he goes in a couple weeks.
What's your feel on what the Patriots are going to do regarding Rob? I mean, we had Burt Breer in here, and it's the first time I'd heard anyone say this because, once again, we were all shocked at how well he played in the postseason. But he thought that the Patriots might not try to make Gronk get a pay cut, which we all were expecting to happen because of how he performed. I don't know if that's the case. Do you have any kind of read on what the Patriots plan on doing with him?
You know, they're very tight-lipped with all that stuff, obviously. But I would say that I think that there was – I think his play moved them a little bit, you know. So I think you start looking at the cost of some of these wide receivers that you're talking about that are in free agency, or guys like Odell and Antonio Brown who are rumored to be traded or are going to get traded. And you look at the cost and you say, man, it's some obscene money in that regard. And if Rob can influence the game the way he did as a blocker, and then, you know, you pick your spots with him as a receiver, that maybe that, you know, $10 million is not as obscene and crazy as we thought it was going to be. I know talking to one of his teammates, Dwayne Allen, who, you know, he's on the books for $7.5 million this year, and he'll never see all that money, whether they restructure or end up cutting him. But he was like, you know, people talk about him and he had a down year, and it, you know, obviously by his standards he did, but 47 catches and the way he blocks, he's like, I don't know, you go around the league, what's that worth? $7.5 million, $8 million, you know, and you're talking about he's being on the books for $10 million. Is it that crazy to think that If you don't pay him, someone else will give him that same kind of money. And I kind of agree with him. I think that if for whatever reason he still wants to play and they don't want to pay him and they cut him, that I don't think there would be a shortage of suitors and a shortage of money out there. And I think we're talking about 11 teams now that are at least $50 million under the cap, and a couple teams over 100 under the cap. I think actually the way this has all worked out is that Rob all of a sudden sort of has a little bit of the hammer here, and that certainly, you know, none of us thought that was the case back in December.
Okay, that's interesting. So you think there would be a bunch of teams lining up to sign him, and for how much? What do you think the market value of Rob Gronkowski is if he is indeed no longer the Patriots?
Well, based on the way the cap's gone up, I would almost guarantee you that someone would pay him $10 million or more.
Are you
for
kidding
at least
me?
1 year.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. I think that the his ability to do what he did, obviously the last impression that he left on people, you know, they're not going to remember the guy scuffling through, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks and missing nearly a month of the season. They're going to remember what he did at the end. And, you know, there are plenty of coaches out there. And I think Belichick has shown this in the past where we'll manage you a little bit more. They managed him near the end of the year when he played. He was, you know, instead of playing all the snaps, he was playing 85% of the snaps, which is still a large number for what they asked him to do. But they were sort of mindful of his condition and making sure that he was as fresh as possible for the postseason. I would not shock me if someone lent us $10 million at least for that 1 year.
Do you buy into that whole thing he said last year that he didn't want to play for anyone but Tom Brady? Like, I mean, if indeed all of this went down and he was available to other teams, do you think it's either Patriots or bust with him or Patriots or retirement?
Boy, you certainly felt that way in the aftermath of that whole discussion and the way that all played out. And I think, you know, part of this is a leverage ploy with the Patriots. You know, you like, look, if we want to play, we think we deserve all that money. And if you don't think that we deserve that money, go ahead, cut us and see what happens. You know, see how many teams line up to try to pay us that money. So I think in his best world, in his heart of hearts, he'd like to stay. But if he really wants to play football, if he's now convinced that he wants to play football, he believes he's worth that money. So you pay it or somebody else will. We believe that.
You know, last year was interesting in how it played out, Mike, with Belichick basically, you know, allowing Brady and Gronk, or the two of them anyways, choosing to be away from the team in OTAs. You mentioned that Belichick managed Gronk last year. Maybe he could do more of that. When you talk about who has the hammer, who has the leverage, I mean, does Bill look at it and say, well, we won again, we're going to start tightening things up? Or do the players now look at it, led by Brady and Gronk, and say, well, you know, we were able to kind of do things our way, and we're gonna angle for more of that?
Yeah, I think that in both of those cases, though, that they're special players, and they have far more leverage than, you know, anybody else on the roster. You know, I'm a fan of Devin McCourty. I think he's a terrific player. He's a terrific leader. I think if Devin McCourty said he wanted to stay away, I don't know that Bill would. Well, I don't know that he embraced it, period. I don't know that he embraced Tom and Rob not being there, but the benefits of, well, Grob's had all these surgeries and has beat up his body, and Tom is going where no quarterback has ever gone before in terms of age and performance, that those guys can do that. I don't think that that's something that would trickle down the rest of the roster. And if you thought that you could do that, I think Bill would be quick to remind you that.
Well,
that's frowned upon.
Would even those two feel more empowered, I guess, is more what I'm driving at. Less the rest of the roster, but more those two to say, yeah, you know what, we are gonna use this leverage, this hammer that we now have.
For sure. I think absolutely. But I think that what we saw this year was, despite the staying away and despite the, you know, the discontent that had festered during last two seasons ago and then went in through the off season, is that once it was time to actually play football, once that July clock started and training camp started, that and I know Belichick was judicious of his use of them in training camp as well, but that all right, now we're here to win football games, so we're not going to do anything that's going to get in the way of winning football games. And I think that both of those guys embrace that idea, that Bill will put us in the best position possible when the season starts, and we're fully committed to doing what we need to do when the season starts.
Mike, do you think the Patriots are going to make a run at any of their free agents? Obviously, Trey Flowers is front and center, but do you think they're going to make an honest run and make an honest bid to keep anybody?
No, not really. I mean, I think Trent Brown is if you bring Trent Brown, Trent's going to get a fair amount of money. I don't think he's not going to get Nate Solder money, but he's going to get a fair amount of money in the open market. And I don't think they're going to go there, especially with Isaiah Wynn, the kid they drafted in the first round, who they look at as a tackle. You know, why would we bring back Brown at an exorbitant cost for more than 1 year and block Wynn's pass to playing the game? Cannon's under contract for, I think, 3 more years. Unless all of a sudden the market, you know, craters for Trent Brown and he's going to make $5 million next year, I can't envision a scenario in which he's back. You look at the receivers, same thing. You know, if Cordarrelle Patterson is worth $3.5 million on the open market, maybe that's a door they open again. With Philip Dorsett, Chris Hogan, if you're going to take 1 year deals for short money, they'd be interested. But if you think you're going to get more money than that, then that's not, they're going to look somewhere else. I think what's going to be interesting again is I keep going back to all these teams under the cap. You know, people are talking about wide receivers and that's a position of need, and ooh, Golden Tate would look nice here, and the kid from Tampa, Humphreys, he'd look nice here. And I think they're free agents and on the open market with these teams that have money, that they're going to get money up front that's going to make the Patriots say, yeah, I don't think that's where we want to go. So, you know, maybe that does, in fact, open the door for some of the guys to come back again if they're willing to take team-friendly deals.
So I take it you're writing off. I mean, because, the Odell Beckham story that came out this week, you know, I believed it, but the contract situation then, last offseason, is a whole completely different than it is now with Odell Beckham. Yet there's still some people who think that the Patriots should try to court him and have him come to the team. Are you completely out on Odell Beckham, especially the way that the contract is set up now?
That's one of those situations where if you're going to make that deal, you're going to do what you did with, go back to Randy Moss. If you're coming here, we want you to rework your deal.
Yeah.
Certainly last year, between the combination of he wasn't making a ton of money and the fact that Gronk was threatening to retire, it was like, okay, well, if Gronk goes, that's 8, 9, 10 million off the books, and we're going to bring in an equally talented player, albeit at a different position, for the same cost. So you look at it as a financial wash. Now it's like, oh, well, if he's going to come back, we got to pay him. And now that guy's contract is more than double what it was last year in the offseason. So, look, I never want to say never with the Patriots, because I remember people saying to me, ooh, Josh Gordon. And I'm thinking, like, no way in hell are they going to go after Josh Gordon. The guy's, one mistake away from being out of the league. You can't, why would you attach yourself to that knowing if he becomes a part of your offense, this is what happens? And sure enough, they end up trading for Josh Gordon. So you never say never with Bill, but it just financially it seems not to make a lot of sense.
Well, I mean, listen, they got to save all that money for Colin Kaepernick when they sign him.
Right.
That's about it. No.
Make your job a lot easier, Mike.
Oh, make all of our jobs easier.
Yeah. You guys would have no shortage of things to talk about. But yeah, that's another one, by the way. Just do you bring in someone with the baggage that he brings? Whether you're on his side or not, and whether you believe that he was blackballed, whatever the case may be, that's a headache that I don't think is really worthy of someone who'd be your backup quarterback and under the perfect circumstances wouldn't play a single solitary snap for you.
It would be the easiest week of radio that I'll ever do in my life if
easiest
they sign him.
Season of radio.
I would just be like, here we go, open up the phones, yell at us. I mean, it would be a joy for every one of us. All right, Mike Giardi, good stuff. Thanks for coming on with us, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, no commercials, just one. Actually, John Walk's headlines.
Lots of
and then a commercial or two.
Yeah.
John Walk.
Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here is Danton Heinen. Now Marshall to draw. He scores! A rocket for Brad Marchand. And
the Bruins have the lead, 2-1 early in the third period.
And speaking of defense and making decisions with the puck, watch Charlie McAvoy.
985 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich with Adam Jones here. Danny Ainge, new president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He's going to be out at 9 o'clock. That clip we just played of Dave Gosher is fascinating and weird for many different reasons. First of all, the fact that they play a song after the opposing team scores. And somebody,
so weird.
Somebody told me it was You Got Lucky by Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Like, all right, man. You know, still, it sounds like a party there. You know, like Brad Marchand scores in Vegas and all it's like, woo!
They play You Got Lucky.
Yeah, okay. But Vegas doesn't like no one else. I mean, they've with the Knights and the Wizards and all that stuff, it's definitely a scene and a very strange product they have going out there. The other thing is, hearing Dave Gosher last night was awesome. Like, that was great. Surratt does a great job, but, you know, it does kind of take you back. And I got this email yesterday. Someone said, can you send me the clip of Dave Gosher doing play-by-play of the Karate Kid? I'd never heard it before yesterday. When did he record that? Well, that was... when Dave worked here, he every once in a while would just come into the studio, and one day we were like, let's see if we can have him do play-by-play of something other than hockey and see how it goes. And the very first thing we had him do was different movie scenes. And watching Dave Gosher work is fascinating. Dude just puts on the headset, watches the screen. So I thought that there's a lot of people who probably have not heard this. This is not very long. But this is the very first time we had Dave Gosher in studio to do one of these sessions.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and we are playing a game, Rich. And how's this thing all go?
Dave Gosher, play-by-play voice of your Boston Bruins here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. The boy, has he been busy this year. He's going to be doing play-by-play, but it's not going to be of a hockey game. It's going to be of a scene from a sports movie, or just any movie for that matter, and he'll be doing play-by-play of what he's watching. We're going to call it Gosh Goes to the Movies. It's that easy. We will play you a clip of Ghost doing play-by-play, and you tell us what movie he's watching at that point.
All right, let's meet our contestant. His name is Paul. Paul, where are you from?
Paul, it's Paul. Hey, guys. Hey, I'm from Boston.
Hey,
all right,
up,
well,
man?
Obviously, you get the show. You knew the Hey, Guys, Hey thing, which is from the Gunner. So let's not get any more bogged down in semantics. Here we go. This is Dave Gosher calling a famous scene from, is it safe to say, a sport movie?
For the most part. You can go outside a little bit outside of sports.
All right. Well, give me a break. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
This is a sports movie.
All right. What movie is Dave Gosher doing play-by-play for?
What an atmosphere between the Chiefs and the Patriots. It's a sold-out crowd here in Charlestown, and there's some menacing figures with tape holding their glasses together, and one of them has just clotheslined one of the Patriots at center ice in the warm-up. And a vicious scene here. Everyone's dropped the gloves, and there's no officials on the ice to break it up. They'll have to get police out here. They may need a security escort out of the building on their way to jail, and all one of the Hanses is trying to do is listen to the song.
I'm looking at a f***ing song!
All right. That is fairly obvious.
Name that movie that Dave Gosher is doing play-by-play of.
That sounds like Slapshot.
That is Slapshot. Congratulations, boy.
Hey,
we were talking about this. Gosher is unbelievable.
He's awesome.
This is all off the top of his head,
he's
too.
He's just looking at it, watching it, and just doing play-by-play. Right
all
there.
Right. Well, this is he's got a skill not many people have. All right.
Let's warms up for his games, I think.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Let's. What movie is this from?
What a matchup here for the World Karate Championship between Danielson and Johnny. Arnold / Mr. Miyagi is ringside. Johnny has just taken a pop right in the nose, and Sensei is encouraging him to sweep the leg. He's going to try and sweep the leg with a vicious cheek shot, and he does. And Danielson is down on the canvas. Oh, Danielson now with a crane kick to the head of Johnny. And Johnny's down and out. And Danielson is the World Karate Champion.
Wow. Well, first
of all, a round of applause for that.
All right, first of all, I have to pot everyone down during this, but that is tremendous. Obviously, that was what?
The Karate Kid.
All right, let's continue. Dave Gosher, the fantastic voice of the Boston Bruins. What movie scene is he calling play-by-play of here?
What a day here in San Diego. 85 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, and a huge beach volleyball matchup. About 12 people sitting in wooden bleachers. Maverick and Goose taking on the Iceman and Slider. Everybody shirtless, but Goose, understandably so. Maverick a long way away from the days of Scientology. What a matchup here. Maverick with one final vicious spike. Maverick with the t-shirt back on his way to meet Kelly McGillis. Maverick has arrived at Kelly McGillis's house on the beach. He is way late for dinner, but nonetheless, score!
And obviously that was what moved.
Top Gun.
Yeah.
Everybody shirtless but Goose, understandably.
I'm going to say Anthony Edwards didn't have that bad a body. Isn't that Anthony Edwards?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Anthony Edwards' body? First of all, he's got 2 feet on all those guys.
He was way more muscular in that movie than he was in ER, so that's a good point.
Well, ER, he played an everyman. All right, here we go. Let's not get caught up in my crap. All right, what movie is Dave Gosha calling a scene from?
Al Capone, along with everybody else, in full black tie tuxedos. But Capone does not look like he's in a good mood as they sit around this big banquet table. He's got a baseball bat in his hand, and it looks like he's pondering who's going to get this in the back of the skull. Gesturing to everybody, pointing with his left index finger, someone is going to get this. It does not look good. One of his henchmen putting a cigar in his mouth, and he'll take the bat to the back of the head. After messing up one of his important orders, boy, was that a big mistake.
All right, that is not a sport film.
Well, it's all baseball.
Well, it's difficult for most people. This one is difficult for most people. I would not have gotten this, but a mob film. Robert De Niro is Al Capone. Any ideas?
What is it? What is it?
Ooh, I'm going to just take a shot in the dark and go Untouchables.
There you go. All right.
He's got a baseball bat in his hand, and it looks like he's pondering who's going to get this in the back of the skull.
The great voice of the Boston Bruins on the radio, Dave Gosher. Is this the last one?
Yes, our final one.
All right, final one. You are perfect so far, Paul. What movie is Dave Gosher doing play-by-play of here?
The training here in Siberia well underway as Rocky Balboa gets ready to meet Ivan Drago in a big showdown. Two different methods to the training here, with Rocky literally sawing wood while Drago has every high-tech machine possible. Now Rocky literally throwing logs on the fire as a training method. Now he's trying to pull Polly on a sled, failing to do so on his hands and knees. This is in the height of the Cold War, and boy, does it look cold over there.
The second best Rocky film, Rocky IV.
It's Rocky IV. Congratulations, you were perfect 4 for 4, Paul.
Congratulations. Mr. Miyagi is ringside.
I got to tell you, Karate Kid was my favorite.
Yeah.
And that might be the favorite one of my bits involving the people. I get it, Brewski.
You're a sucker for sweeping the leg.
Paul, congratulations, sir.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, there
Shall
you go.
Go out with Sensei and Johnny?
Yeah.
What a matchup here for the World Karate Championship between Danielson and Johnny. Arnold / Mr. Miyagi is ringside. Johnny has just taken a pop right in the nose, and Sensei is encouraging him to sweep the leg. He's going to try and sweep the leg with a vicious cheap shot, and he does. And Danielson is down on the canvas. Oh, Danielson now with a clean kick to the head of Johnny, and Johnny's down and out. And Danielson is the World Karate Champion.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Butch and Marcellus Wallace were knocked out cold, but they're not anymore. And they've woken up in a very strange basement. Zed the cop and his weird nameless buddy seem to have something in store. Weird nameless guy is walking over to a mysterious wooden trunk in the back of the basement. What in the world is in that trunk? Hang on. That's a human. It's a man, I think. Whatever it is, it's covered in leather from head to toe. Apparently, it's time to bring out the gimp. Bad things are happening to Marcellus Wallace. And that looks like a samurai sword. Butch now impaling the weird nameless guy with a samurai sword.
And Marcellus is a long way from being okay.
Step aside, what?
Marcellus is emphatic with Zed, promising to come back and get medieval on that ass. If you're taking bets on this matchup, Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead.
Ah, the great Dave Gosher. That was fun. Oh, yeah. Danny Ainge calling in, as he does every Thursday. He'll be on with us in about 7 minutes. It's Toucher and Rich. Got Adam Jones in for Fred this morning, and I just can't wait for the Celtics to start playing basketball again because it has been too long.
Eight days.
That break is ridiculously long, and it shouldn't be that long, but we're sitting here, and all we've gotten over the last 8 days since they... Remember how good everyone felt after that second win? It was the two wins in a row.
Yeah.
You had the Sixers
Philly
game.
Philly and Detroit, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Philly and Detroit, and by the end of it, everyone's like, all right. Oh, the whole Marcus Morris thing, we're not having fun. That had kind of, you know, it had gone by the wayside. They're hitting on all cylinders again. You feel good about the Celtics. And then over the past week, you had all the grossness happening with Anthony Davis and him saying the Celtics are still on my list. And then there's the video of Kyrie Irving, and he was talking to, which, by the way, I thought it was BS. I mean, I saw the video of him and Kevin Durant talking, and a lot of people were saying, he's saying we have room for two max contracts. Immediately people thought that he was going to be going to the Knicks. Now you have Kyrie Irving yesterday. Everything about this clip was handled wrong, from the way Steve Bulpet asked the question to the way that Kyrie Irving answered it. So this is yesterday, the way Steve Bulpet's talking, I can't even tell what he's trying to set up. He wants Kyrie Irving to comment on this video, but instead, what he should have asked was straight up, hey, there was a video going around that people were speculating that you and Kevin Durant were talking about going to New York and signing with the Knicks. Were you guys talking about signing with the Knicks? That's all you have to say, because that's a yes or no question. There's no vagueness. There's no room for Kyrie to go one way or the other. And this is all coming a day after he did the interview with Rachel Nichols, saying that he hates his words being taken out of context by the media, and all the media tries to do is, you know, put a divide in the locker room. And to that I say, dude, you're doing an interview you don't have to do with Rachel Nichols. Now, yesterday was one he had to do because that was like a mandated thing. He was at the practice facility. They talked to the media. It's part of their job. However, I don't like how any of this went down. So let's go to the clip. This is Steve Bulpet talking to Kyrie Irving about this video and Kyrie Irving not having it.
Kyrie, if you want to say anything about that thing or whatever, before water.
The what?
You want to say anything about that, the video, to kind of chill it, or what? Because people always are talking about it.
Yeah. What does that matter to me? Somebody was... Listen, I don't have a private life when I'm out there in the NBA. Somebody wants to take a video and... I mean, it is what it is. Pour water on it? I'm a human being talking to another best friend of mine. Like, putting... It's just crazy. You know, this is... I mean, this is the stuff that just, like... just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league even more by doing bullshit like that. Of just fictitious putting things on, like, what we're talking about. Like, it's just... It's crazy. I guess that's what you wanted, huh?
No. What I'm saying is that it's out there. You want to... Cool it off, or whatever.
By what?
People are running with it, saying, you know.
Yeah, people.
We haven't written about it. We're like, that's what we're coming to you to ask you about it, okay?
And people like who then?
Well, it's all over the internet.
Do you live in, is the internet real for you in your life?
Jeez.
It's my life, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you.
Making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
Well,
why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those type of questions?
Yeah.
About cooling it off? For what?
The reason we're asking,
I don't get it.
The reason we're asking about it is because the people that the fans are interested in. That's all.
Oh, the fans.
Yes.
This is about the fans.
That's about,
okay, this is about, so you're right for the fans.
You do it your life, so I don't care. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's where we started.
Stop it. Okay, all right. Kyrie, first of all, Bulpet's not out to get you. He's not that guy, all right? Don't be a dick to a guy just doing his job.
Right.
He's doing his job. Now,
right.
If
I were asking, I might be out to get you. But Steve Bulpet's not a poopster. He's not a bomb thrower.
No, the Dark Knight shows up, and this is a story. And Bulpet completely botched it. He should have said, were you talking about going to New York in that clip? That's it. Literally all you got to say. And if Kyrie hates all the questions being asked and all this stuff, all you got to say is, no, I'm not talking about that. Of course I wasn't talking about that. He's a friend of mine. We're having a conversation. Boom, done, over with. But instead, he continues. And he's like, oh, is the internet real? Is that a real thing? Yes, Kyrie Irving, you know it's a real thing. Unlike the earth being flat. This is something that is real. It's been around forever. Stop trying to be condescending to a guy just trying to do his job. And I love Kyrie Irving's play, man. I am the biggest. I've been. John, has there been a bigger supporter of Kyrie Irving on the Celtics than I've been? Like, I mean, even when he was on the Cavs, I'm like, I love the way this guy plays. I'm a massive fan. But he's making it tough. And
you have have been near the top.
Wallach's wavering. Oh, near the top.
Yeah,
near
top. I've apologized for Kyrie Irving even during the whole thing where he was like, you know, asked me on July 1st. I think there might have been some reason he did that because he didn't want his name to. All of this could be done. All the bitching and moaning about the media and not making things fun can be done and over with if he just says, yeah, I'm resigning. Or, you know what? That we weren't talking about going to New York.
Right.
It's done. Over with.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys thought, but we're not talking about we're friends. We're not talking about New York.
And I don't even mind him saying wait till July 1st. I had no problem with that answer. People can was it weird and wishy-washy as a Celtics fan? I understand. But you have a right to change your mind as a player.
True.
You have that right.
But if you open that door, then this is the avalanche you bring on yourself. But I guess that would be my feeling.
I thought he was smart enough to know this.
But what you don't have a right to do, I mean, you have a right to do it, but it doesn't mean this is when you truly become an a-hole, is when you're a dick to a guy just trying to do his job and asking a question for the fans. For the fans, yes, Kyrie, he is the conduit between the fans and you. The fans are the people who buy the tickets, they pay your salary, so yes, that's why you have to do these interviews. Don't be an a-hole to this guy trying to do his job when he doesn't have an agenda. Like, he's not trying to take you down. He's Steve Bobette. He's fairly Celtics-friendly. And as I said, he's not you.
And Kyrie knows that, right. Too.
Adam Jones shows up. You rip
right.
him while
something,
you want Kyrie.
If I'm there, first of all, that wouldn't happen. But if I'm there, something's up. Steve Bobette, he's there all the time. He's trying to get an answer out of you. He's giving you the opportunity, and maybe he could have done better with it, Rich. I'd agree with that. But he's giving you the opportunity to make the story go away. Like, I believe that's what Bobette was doing, giving you the opportunity to make the story go away, and you decided to make it work.
It's so easy to make it go away. You just go, you know, we were not talking about that. He's a friend of mine. Boom, done. And then you don't have to go through all this, and you're not aggravated anymore. All right. Danny Ainge, he's a guy who's obviously fairly close to the situation.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him about all the stuff. Thank God basketball's back. I mean, it's been this stuff's – I want it all go away. Just get back on the court, win games, impress me, and all of a sudden your friends again and everyone's having fun. That's the way it's, and I guarantee you, winning cures all of this. We'll forget about this. We'll all laugh about it. Just get out there and win. And right now they have a tough road until the end of the season. We'll have Danny Ainge talk about it. No commercials, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.